Hello and welcome to another edition of the Full Press Islanders Podcast. Hunter Highwall talking to you today. We're getting closer and closer to Islanders hockey being back, but we have to get through today, the All-Star Weekend festivities, and then Monday we finally come back. We're going to talk about the importance of the first couple of games out of the break. They play three out of four nights to come back. They're in Philly, then they're at home for back-to-back. Which is oddly enough to me, they're not playing back-to-back nights at home. They play in Philly Monday night, then they play home against Seattle Tuesday night, and then they have the Beauvillier return game Thursday at home against Vancouver. Then they play Montreal on Saturday at 12:30, which is a weird time. I mean, I'm not complaining. The Saturday afternoon game, I like Saturday night games. I can go out with my friends. You know, you can go out, you can go out to eat, watch the game. But Saturday afternoon, I mean, there's a lot of worse fates than staying inside when it's freaking cold outside, because it's going to be freezing here again because we're getting that Arctic blast and it's going to last for a while. Get me to March, man. Put me on a golf course already, am I right? But we also need to talk about, as one trade was made, obviously, with Bo Horvat coming in, the possibility of other trades being made, and I don't think that's going to happen for a while, so we can kind of just talk about some rumors, and rumors only get you so far, but obviously you have to take yourselves out of the running for some of the big guys out there. Like, we always thought that was going to be Tarasenko. That was my thought. I thought we were going to wind up going after Tarasenko heavy, but it seemed like that even if the Islanders weren't able to make this trade for Horvat, and I did see a couple of things from Elliot Friedman that we'll get into with Horvat with the extension, I thought the Islanders are going to go all in on Tarasenko, but it seemed like that Horvat was really going to be a target for the Islanders in free agency on July 1st this year. So it seems like that they were not really ever in on Tarasenko as much as we all thought they were. Maybe they called up and they were thinking, hey, what could we get? Maybe could we get him for cheaper than Horvat, but it really was Horvat or nothing. That's really what the Islanders wanted. They wanted that two-way center that could also put the puck in the back of the net, because Tarasenko was a winger, and wingers do fit with the Islanders' needs, but you could also just move Barzal. And that's what we kind of talked about yesterday. But let's dive into, before we start dealing with what the Islanders are going to do next, right now we know what they have. And these first couple of games coming out of the break, you're going to have to play the team that's leading the Pacific Division, and nobody knew that they were going to be leading the Pacific Division. They were one of the worst teams in the NHL last year, but they changed two players around, and it's really elevated them. Getting a guy like Andrei Burakovsky, it really does change the outlook of that team, because he just adds that depth to the team. And also putting Matty Beniers in there, although Matty Beniers is now injured, but he's been one of the biggest differences for Seattle this season. He really came into light at the World Juniors in the bubble year, where the U.S. won the gold medal. And then he had another good World Junior the year after, and he began to dominate his college career. And he just came up into the NHL like, hey, let's see what he could do. We'll take a next step as an organization. But the Kraken are surprised that he's just gone completely crazy. He has had an unreal season. It's really sad to see that he won't be there at the All-Star game, because he's a guy that the NHL needs to be able to showcase their best players. That's always been the problem with the league. They don't know how to showcase their best players. Now, they're starting to do a better job of it since TNT and ESPN got the contract deals for the TV. Because now they're putting McDavid on there all the time on TNT. They're putting teams like the Sabres on there with Tage Thompson. Like, they know what they're doing now. But Beniers has 36 points in 45 games this season, and they're really going to miss him in this game, man. They're really going to miss him for this stretch running. I don't know how long he's going to be out for, because obviously in hockey, it's always upper body, lower body, injured reserve. Like, at least in, like, baseball or the NFL, you have nothing but reporters that are just like, hey, he's probably going to be out 2 to 3 weeks, or he's done. Like, for Wahlstrom, like, think about it from our case. Wahlstrom, he's probably done for the season, but he got hurt a month ago. We haven't heard anything on him. We've just been hearing, like, hey, he's been around the facility. Great. Like, what does that mean? He could be going in for treatment. He could be going in for practice. We don't know. But it's not just Beniers that's really turned the Kraken around. Like, they're first place for a reason. And one of the reasons we all thought was going to be a guy like Grubauer, but he came into this season injured as a goalie. And Martin Jones, he's not been great, but he's been good enough. He's been good enough for them. But really what's helped them out is defensively, they're playing better, because they obviously know that Martin Jones and Grubauer not being there, because Martin Jones is a fringe starter in the NHL at best. He has an under 900 save percentage. He was really good early on. He had like a 915 for the longest time, but then he kind of remembered that he's Martin Jones and he's eh. But what's really helped him out is Eberle's having a big season for them, our old pal Jordan Eberle. Like I said, Andrei Burakovsky. Vince Dunn has finally put it together. We always knew he had it in him when he was in St. Louis, but the Blues always said he wasn't focused, he wasn't focused, he wasn't focused. But now, moving to Seattle like this, getting picked up in the expansion draft, he was probably thinking to himself, I'll show them. That's the best thing you could do as a player. Is it's like MJ. Michael Jordan always just made things up so he can just have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. And when you actually have something, a little bit of fuel, that's what Vince Dunn has done this season. I probably should have said Dunn has done, but you get the point. Vince Dunn has really made himself a great offensive defenseman and changed that power play around. He has 9 goals and 27 assists on the season, and I love every single second of it because I picked him up in fantasy. When everybody else was laughing at me at our little fantasy draft party, they're like, you're reaching on him. You're reaching on him. Well, the kid right now, we're 13-3 and not looking back. Obviously, it helps having Connor McDavid on your team, but you need to find those depth players later in the draft. But Vince Dunn has been a revelation for them this season. 27 assists. And he has a lot of them on the power play. And also, he's great on the rush. If you just watch a Seattle game, first of all, they're very entertaining to watch. But I think this matchup is a good one for the Islanders. Because the Islanders, they play a game that they try to just strangle you like an anaconda and really just will the life out of you as the game goes on. And Seattle likes to play that super fast game. So if the Islanders are able to play structurally well and just keep everything to the outside, they'll be able to win. It's when teams start getting to the interior that it becomes a problem. But as we know, giving up goals is not the issue of this team. They're still good defensively. Now, I have said this season, one of the biggest problems that I have is that when they're up like 2-1 late in the game, under Barry Trotz, you expect them to win that game 95% of the time. Now you're almost like, when is the goal happening? When is the other team going to score? But maybe with Bo Horvat coming in here, and this is where we're going to come full circle with the whole thing. With Bo Horvat coming in here, we're not going to have to sweat out these 2-1 games. And I did hear Paul Bissonnette, and I love Biz. The guy's, he's hilarious. Whether you listen to him on his pod or you listen to him on the NHL on TNT, the guy's funny. But he speaks to the voice of a lot of hockey fans that understand this about the Islanders. Now, we as Islander fans don't notice this all the time because when you're watching your team, you're not thinking, hey, this is a really good game. You're just thinking, we got to win this game, man. Think about it. Are you really thinking to yourself when you watch an Islander game, like, this is an awesome game? You're either frustrated or you're happy. But Biz said, they're boring. That's what he said about us. He said that we're boring. And honestly, he's 100% right. And I don't know how many people I'm breaking the news to because there's a lot of people out there in this fan base that like to believe that we're an entertaining team, that we do a lot of great things, and nothing is wrong. And that's why they were so upset with the Bo Horvat Atu Ratu trade. It's really Ratu for Bo Horvat. Beauvillier was kind of like the kick-in piece. But like the thing is Ratu is an unproven player. Beauvillier has been outright bad, so we needed Horvat. Maybe Bo Horvat takes us from being like a boring team that we just try to strangle you, where instead of us just being that team that, hey, let's get to 2 goals and hope and pray, maybe we become that team that's, we're going to get to 3 or 4 now, and we don't allow any goals. See, that's why I think that this game against Seattle, this is a very favorable type of matchup for them, because the Kraken, they win games based strictly on their goal scoring. Strictly on their goal scoring. All they do is score a lot. Because, like I said, Martin Jones is good for a time, and Grubauer's been in and out of the lineup, and he's another guy having my fantasy team. I'd really like for him to start playing again, because the Kraken are winning a lot, and he's not getting the wins. But if you watch a Kraken game, it's kind of like how we talked about with Pittsburgh yesterday. Pittsburgh is very, we're going to score like 5 or 6 goals, and we're going to try to outscore you. That's what Seattle is. Seattle is really good at playing in close, tight games, though. Where it'll be like 4-4 in the third period, and they just score that late goal. And if you could just defend your net for about 4 minutes, that's how they've won a lot of these games. And I know this because I'm a sick person, and I watch a lot of late-night hockey. Because to me, there's nothing better than ESPN Plus and watching late-night hockey. I watch a lot of like the Oilers, I watch a lot of the Kraken, and that's what's great about fantasy. It kind of entices you to watch these games that you wouldn't normally watch. So I watched a lot of Seattle this season, and they are just a complete outscoring type of team. Now, we'll talk more about this as the game is on Monday, so Monday out of the weekend after all the All-Star festivities, we'll begin to talk more and more about it. We'll kind of prep up with the All-Star game tomorrow, just because the skills competitions tomorrow, they're doing a couple of cool things, so I'm really interested to see what they're going to do. I'm kind of disappointed, I'm not going to lie, because when I read a tweet about 3 weeks ago, they were thinking about adding new things to the skills competition, and I'm very disappointed, because I was under the impression, and if you know anything about me, my biggest fear in the world is alligators. And you might be thinking to yourself, why the hell is somebody talking about alligators on a hockey podcast? Great question. Because there was an idea, like, remember last year when they were on the, in Vegas, they were on, like, that lake, and they were doing saucer passes onto those, like, weird platforms in the water, and it was, like, a pre-recorded thing, and people were like, what are we watching? We committed time to this. That was my thought, actually. I was like, what the hell are we watching right now? But we were thinking that they were going to do something similar to that, where they're going to be sauce passing into the mouths of gators with meat pucks. How cool would that have been? Where you just have a bunch of alligators, a bunch of meat pucks, and NHL players are launching these things into the mouths of gators. That would have been awesome. That would have been something that you have to see. Now, they're still going to do, like, the consecutive save shootout. They're going to do the cool, like, shootout moves, like, best shootout move. They're going to do fastest skater. And I wonder if they're going to bring back the relay race. Because that, to me, was, like, the best. When Patrick Kane, he would be going through, like, the Gatorade bottles and doing those quick turns. And also when they did the sauce passes into the little nets. That was always, like, the coolest thing to me as a kid. Where I would be sitting there watching that, like, that is so freaking cool that they're able to do that. I think the NHL, they outthink themselves a lot. They keep thinking, hey, how can I make this so awesome? When they had a lot of cool stuff, you just had to fine-tune it. The NHL has really, they've gone away with, especially with the All-Star game. Thankfully, they went back to fan voting. They got rid of fan voting because they all got butthurt over John Scott making it. And the reason why they made John Scott get in is because they were just trying to get at Gary Bettman because he's like the most unlikable guy ever as the commissioner of the NHL. Nobody likes him. Everybody boos him. Even teams like where they got new fans, like when they go to Vegas, they're like, no, thank you for giving us a team. We're just still going to boo the crap out of you. But tomorrow we will look more into the All-Star break and we'll take a deep dive into Nelson and Sorokin and how they got there and a couple of things that affect the Islanders going into the second half. And we'll take a look at the couple games coming out of the break because they play Philly on Monday in Philly, then they play Seattle, and I really focused a lot on Seattle because Philly, we know what the deal is with Philly. Seattle's an exciting team. Philadelphia, they're coached by Tortorella, they don't have tablets on the bench, and it's really just, everybody's like really pissed off over there, and they had that, there's just a lot going on in Philly. We'll get more into that on Monday, and obviously this is a huge stretch for the team. They need to come out swinging because they're a couple points out of a playoff spot, but the playoffs, like we said, they're right there. Hopefully the team, they're getting healthy because they were banged up and battered. They play such a physical style. Bo Horvat comes in, and hopefully that extension gets done soon because I've been hearing like Elliot Friedman had a quote saying that it's more likely than not that an extension gets done. So that's good news because it would really stink if he came in. We were so excited for him to stay here, and then boom, he's gone. But until tomorrow when we talk more about the All-Star game and the break coming out of it, this is Hunter Highwell with the Full Press Islanders podcast.